Good morning and welcome, and thank you for tuning in with us. I want to get started this morning with a story. There's a man, and he decided that he wanted to try ice fishing. So he went out and he started to cut a hole in the ice. And just then he heard a loud voice, and it said, "There is no fish under the ice." Now, amazed at hearing this voice speaking to him, he wondered, you know, is that God? Was that God speaking to me? He finally convinced himself that he probably just imagined it. He made that up. He just imagined hearing that voice. So he went back to work drilling that hole in that ice. Again, he heard, "There is no fish under the ice." "Is that you, God?" he said. To which he heard the reply, "No, this is the skating rink manager." Thank you, Ryan, for adding the laughter, because it really makes me feel better about that joke. Thank you, Ryan. Last week, we began looking at how God speaks to us. We discovered that the truth about God and His ways are only revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? We can't discover it on our own. We don't come up with this on our own. So when we become aware of the truth, when we become aware of God's ways and what He wants to do, God has spoken to us. In other words, you have heard from God. Last week I spoke about how God speaks to us primarily through God's Word and also prayer. This week I want to finish up this series by talking about God speaking to us through our circumstances, as well as other believers, other Christians, our church. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for laughter. Thank you for who you are, that you fill us up with joy, that you have blessed us so much. Even in the middle of this pandemic and everything that's going on, Lord, we are still so, so, so blessed. And I thank you for that. Lord, I think about our church. I think about every individual that's comes to our church, comes to our drive-in services. Lord, and I continue to ask and to pray for you to give us strength, to build us up, to help us grow, and to look for you for everything in our life. As always, Lord, open our ears, our hearts, and our eyes to what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Acts chapter 11, 1 through 18. Now, as you turn there, I want you to pay close attention to what God says through Peter. All right? Pay close attention to where and how God has circumstances, how He uses circumstances and the church to speak to people. Just what we are talking about today. These two titles, these two topics. Let me read you Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. "The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. And they said, 'You went into the house of the uncircumcised men and you ate with them?' Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the entire story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice tell me, "Get up, Peter, kill, and eat." Now I replied, "Surely not, Lord, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Pay attention to the very first part of verse 11. It says, right then, right? Just as soon as Peter got done with this vision, it says, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. Let me read that verse 12 again. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me. I love that, right? It's hilarious. It shows me Peter's nature. It shows me that Peter's human, right? The Holy Spirit tells him, don't have any hesitation to go with these men. And Peter says, okay, I'm taking six of my buddies with me. I need some backup. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, now this is Peter right now, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Talk about Pentecost. Lost my spot. Says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he did as us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. This is the Apostle Peter's recap of an experience that he had with God, which led him to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles, the unclean, the non-Jews. For the very first time ever. Okay, this is the very first time that the Gentiles are hearing this. Before this event, all Christians were Jews up until this point. While Peter was praying, he sees a vision of a blanket that's being lowered down with animals of all kinds. And he hears God say to him, Peter, kill and eat. Now, this was a horrifying vision for Peter. You see, Peter, he was a Jew, and this went against anything that the Jewish law taught. Went against everything that the Jewish law taught. It was unclean. They could only eat specific animals. Animals that were considered clean. Those that chew the cud. Have a split hoof. Talking about sheep. Cows, goats, along with fish, some birds. So of course, when Peter hears this at first, he refuses, just as any good Jewish person would. But then God responded a second time and says, don't call anything unclean that I have made clean. Before Peter could even figure out what was going on, there's a knock on the door. Okay? Peter's having this vision. He hears God talk to him three times before the vision goes away. He hears, you got three men who traveled roughly about 40 miles from Caesarea, I'll get it. To Joppa, at the order of God-fearing Roman centurion named Cornelius. Now, Cornelius himself had an angel appear to him and tell him to send for the man named Peter at the very house where they were knocking. Right? The perfect timing of the arrival, just as Peter saw this vision, was no coincidence. It was a God incidence. You get that? It wasn't a coincidence, it was a God incidence. God was using this unusual, ironic timing to communicate to Peter and to confirm and clarify a message. Now, if this happened to us nowadays, how many of us would have connected the dots between the vision and the knock on the door? Probably not a lot of us. We'd probably written it off as a mere coincidence. The timing of the visit was just a sign to confirm God's work. God was confirming to Peter what he just had the vision about. This could be unusual circumstances. Let me back up. God could have revealed everything to Peter in a vision. He's God, right? But instead, he chose to give Peter only a very small part of that picture. Why? Well, in my opinion, it was probably to test Peter's faith, to see if he was willing to adjust to God's plan. And then further complicating the matter was that these three men were Gentiles, right? Not Jews. And they were inviting Peter, a Jew, to the home of another Gentile, something that was forbidden by law. You didn't do that. They couldn't hang around with each other. They couldn't hang around with the impure people, just like they couldn't eat the impure food. And this is where I want to jump into our topics today. Last week I talked to you about two ways that God speaks to us, one through His Word and through prayer. Two I want to talk about today. Here's the third way. God speaks to us through our circumstances. Okay? God will use circumstances in your life either to communicate or to clarify His truth to us, or more commonly, to confirm something that He's already been telling us. This could be an unusual circumstance or a coincidence or a God incidence. Like Peter experienced, where the timing was just way too perfect to be an accident. You see, God was confirming Peter's vision. He was bringing it to fruition. If you have a coincidence occur in your life, rather than writing it off, perhaps you should stop, pray, ask God, is He trying to communicate something to you? I do this all the time now. There's a reason why God does what He does. So anytime that I ever experience a coincidence, I immediately stop, I immediately pray, and I ask God if this is something that He is trying to say to me. Is this something that He is speaking to me? Is this something that He is trying to tell me about? Perhaps He's trying to confirm a direction He's leading me in. You know, the year leading up to me becoming your pastor, it was a year that was filled with coincidences. Well, it wasn't coincidences, it was God incidences. Over and over and over again, God was directing me. But I kept playing it off as coincidence. Now when a coincidence pops up, I pay attention. I stop and I ask God, is this something that He is telling me about? Your circumstances may be God incidences. God placing a person or causing a situation to happen in your life at just the right time. God could be opening a door just to test to see if you're going to come to Him, spend time with Him for that confirmation. Remember, God is interested in a relationship with Him first and foremost. God is interested, moreover, with a relationship with you first and foremost. A circumstance may point you to the truth, okay? But don't ever allow it to bypass your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. A circumstance might point you to the truth, but never allow it to bypass your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, fortunately, Peter sensed God's work. Thanks to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he went to Cornelius' house, even though he was a Gentile, even though he thought, outnumbered, because he took his six buddies with him, right? But then what did he do when he get there? He begins to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ to them, the unclean. Peter recognized that the vision, it wasn't about eating unclean animals per se. It was about the Gentiles. They were the unclean according to the Jews. They were the unclean whom God considered clean. He was now giving them the opportunity to receive Christ and be in God's kingdom. That was the third way. Let's take a look at the fourth way that God speaks to us. It's through other Christians, through other believers. There's another subtle way God spoke in this passage. God spoke to the Gentiles through Peter. Now think about this. God could have revealed everything about Jesus to them through an angel, right? I mean, God's God. He could have revealed everything to the Gentiles through just an angel. I mean, he sent an angel to Cornelius. Why not just reveal the entire truth? Why not reveal the entire gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, through that angel? He didn't do it. He used Peter. It was through Peter's preaching the good news about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, or preaching about the Jesus, that the Holy Spirit came upon them as it did at Pentecost. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples did, Peter did at Pentecost. And notice how all the objections melt away after Peter's testimony. After Peter, he's there back, he's in Jerusalem, he leaves Joppa, he goes to Caesarea to talk with Cornelius, he leaves Cornelius, he's going back to Jerusalem, and he's standing there and he's telling them about what just happened. And they kind of get offended when they hear this news. You've been eating with them, you've gone to their home. But pay attention how all their objections melt away after Peter's testimony. After he was done talking, after he got done, he says, when they heard this, they had no further objections. And they praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. They went from criticizing Peter for hanging out with the Gentiles, the unclean, to celebrating the Gentiles and that they could have salvation. That, my friends, is the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just because Peter could talk really good, right? He's an eloquent speaker. Or maybe he had a better argument. No. It was because God spoke to their hearts and He revealed the truth to them through the Holy Spirit by Peter. God can speak directly to us, but it also means God can use any Christian believer to speak to us. It doesn't have to be a prophet. It doesn't have to be an apostle. It doesn't have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be a teacher, an evangelist, a missionary, a deacon. God can use any believer to communicate His truth. Many times, God will use the testimony of a believer to cut straight to our heart, to reveal maybe our sin, to show us God's grace, to show us God's power, maybe to show us our weakness or how God is directing us. That being said, every single believer in Christ has a testimony. Now you say, Pastor, I don't have a testimony. And to that I say, you're wrong. You see, most Christians, most believers think a testimony has to do with you coming up in front of a church and telling your testimony. That's not your testimony. Your testimony is what you do every single day. Are you walking the walk? Are you talking the talk? That's your testimony. If you're a Christian, you have a testimony. And we need to be sharing it, and not just sharing it, we need to be showing it. You catch that? I said showing it. You don't always have to open your mouth to show your godly testimony. It's also in your actions. You don't have to open your mouth. Somebody is watching you. Whether you know it or not, God is using you and your testimony to speak to others, even when you don't open your mouth. God can speak to anybody through anything. Let me read you something. It comes from Numbers 22:28. Short verse. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" You remember that story? I figure if God can speak through a donkey, now I suppose you know what? He can use either me or you to speak any way He wants. God may use you to speak to someone else or use someone else to speak to you. Last week, I finished up with a caution. And I'm going to do the same thing this morning. We must be careful, even though I told you, Christians can speak to you. God can use other Christians to speak to you. But listen, you also got to be careful when other Christians speak a word from God to us, however it might be. When you believe that somebody is sharing something from God, or maybe they even came to you and they're telling you that they have something for you from God, you need to ask yourself some questions, okay? First, was this spoken in love? Was it spoken in love? Does it bring unity? Is it consistent with God's Word, going back to God's Word again? And is it consistent with what God is laying on your heart? Answer those questions. Even in the Bible, believers who claimed to speak for God didn't always speak the truth. That's why John wrote in 1 John 4:1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because even many false prophets have gone out into this world." Someone comes up to you and they're telling you that they have a message from God. Don't take it and run with it. You run back to God's Word. You look for confirmation. As I come to a close, you may be thinking, why would God use other Christians? Why would God use other believers when He could just speak straight to me? Well, I'm going to tell you. God has created the church to work together as a unit. I'm not talking about just this church. I ain't talking about everybody here maybe in the, that can come into the four walls or what we have at a drive-in service or a parking lot. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, right? God created the church to work together as a unit or as a body by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that each of us has a part to play in that body so we can function together as one. God wants to foster interdependence. God wants us to rely on Him and also each other. But we're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. If we try to go it alone, we're only going to get a very small picture of what God is doing and what He is communicating to us. Pride in the American independent spirit is what hurts our relationship with God and our ability to hear His voice. Pride in the American independent spirit is what hurts our relationship with God and our ability to hear His voice. God wants to work mightily and powerfully in this world. But when that happens, it happens through His church and through His children, through believers. You know, I hear the question all the time, especially over the last 6 months. You know, Donnie, why isn't God at work? With everything that's going on, why isn't God working? Why isn't God doing something? Why isn't God at work? The question isn't, why isn't God at work? The question is, why isn't the church and the believers at work? That's where God's power is going to come from. That's where the difference is going to come from. Whether we are in these four walls of this church, a field, a parking lot, or a cow pasture, we need to come together and hear what God is revealing to each other, through each other. When we share what God is revealing to us and what we see Him doing all around us, it builds each other's up and it leads them to join in God's work. With that being said, are you paying attention to what God is communicating to you? Whether through God's Word, through prayer, circumstances, or other believers, you need to know that the God of the universe is speaking straight to you. God is wanting to have a conversation with you. Do you hear Him? If you miss out on it, then you're missing out on where God is leading you. You're missing out on where God is wanting you to go. And when you hear it, blessings follow. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for You wanting to communicate with us. We just need to take the time to listen and to understand how to listen. So I thank You so much for the last couple weeks of Scripture and thought that You've put on my heart regarding this topic. Lord, I ask You, as always, to be with every individual here. Help us to grow. Help each person in this church and that's listening, that's watching, to grow and understand how precious that relationship is with You and what a difference it can make. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you're probably sitting there and you say, Donnie, you know, I've heard you over the last couple weeks talking about hearing God, listening for God. But man, wouldn't it be so much easier? Wouldn't it be easier if I just heard from God? He just spoke audibly to me and I got it. Wouldn't it be so much easier? The four things that I spoke about over the last 2 weeks: reading God's Word, prayer, paying attention to your circumstances or your God incidences, paying attention to other believers, they all drive you closer to an intimate relationship with God. Do you remember what I said last week? I even said it earlier in this message. The one thing that God wants most is a relationship with you. Everything spiritual stems from that. Everything great stems from that. Work on your relationship, and wow, feel and know and hear God talking to you. Thanks so much. Have a great week, and I'll see you later.